we're going to use the NFL draft as a platform. I mean, with 60 million people on TV and everything, they're going to see this region in a very different light. And I think that this is going to be a validation. You know, the NFL chose Detroit and Michigan. I think it's going to really open up a lot of people's eyes.
Okay, ready?
This is it. This is the show. What's with the Pineapple, a podcast from the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association.
Pineapples don't grow in Michigan.
No, not native to Michigan. Let me write that down. Putting a hospitality spin on what exactly is going on in Lansing. Shed some light on the industry specifically in Michigan. I think we're going to have some good guests.
What is with the pineapple? What's with the industry? What's going on in Michigan?
We can edit this if that's not right, right?
All right, we're recording this on March 28th. It is, what are our national holidays? We have Weed Appreciation Day.
Interesting choice.
Like in the ground, weeds.
Oh, Weed Appreciation Day. Why are we, let me tell you how I'm going to celebrate Weed Appreciation Day. I'm going to buy a massive bag of Scott's Turf Builder and Prevent Crabgrass. Spring is here. You got to get out there early. Once the crabgrass starts, it is impossible to take it down. So I don't appreciate the weeds so much. It's a battle. It's a constant battle. One that I've won and lost over the years.
Such a dad.
Yeah.
Just like all
hot dad take.
Yeah. Also, you're going to get a lot of haters for that because weeds are good for like the ecosystem and bees and stuff. So they say, do you remember No Mow May last year?
No.
I did not partake.
I'm pro Mow May.
Well, you're going to get
a
lot of haters.
By the way, take this to my HOA. They don't want to see the weeds in the sub.
Fair.
There are standards that need to be maintained. Fair. And pride with a strong lawn.
Yes. Again, just a dad take.
Thank
100%.
You. There's no shame in that.
And then also, today is National Something on a Stick Day.
Like,
take that how you want to.
Is that food oriented?
It could be.
How will you celebrate?
My take was the heads of my enemies on a stick is how I approach this day.
Would you like to name names of who said enemies are?
I think we should keep it clean here on the pod, but that's how I took it. That was my initial thought process.
It's a very Game of Thrones take. I really went to food on a stick. Remember street food was the hot trend in the Restaurant Trends report a couple years ago?
I do.
Street food. I'll tell you,
Now, why'd you say it like that?
What?
Street food.
Yeah, it's exciting. It was a trend. It was hot at the moment. It's fine. I've always loved, who doesn't like street food?
Sure.
It didn't need to be a trend. I will say it immediately brought me back to the dorms in college where they used to have vegan corn dogs, and it sounds disgusting. I'm not
corn
vegan.
Dogs are here's, a no for me.
No, here's the thing. No, the hot dog is irrelevant. Whatever the meat or non-meat substance is on the stick. It is the beautiful fried golden batter on the outside dipped in ketchup. That is fantastic.
No.
It's so good.
No.
And I remember being, 19, thinking, I could be a vegan. This is pretty good.
How's that panned out for you?
I mean, that's really the singular effort. No, I will say, not the singular effort. I had a vegan Southwest breakfast bowl at Anna's house.
Oh.
Shout out Josh Beckett.
Yeah.
The other day, and you can't get vegan eggs. I draw a line. Vegan
yeah,
eggs
I don't
would
even
be,
know what that would
I
be.
Said, it's like a vegan, Mexican sausage in there.
Okay.
But then I had the regular eggs over easy on top.
Okay.
Absolutely amazing. So I kind of want to go right now and go get another one.
Let's just cut this off and head out.
There'll be so many disappointed people. So many.
So many.
So many.
So many.
All right, let's get into it.
Okay, current events. Pineapple Express. MasterCard and Visa are offering temporary reductions in swipe fees. This came out, I think, yesterday. They have agreed, MasterCard and Visa have agreed to temporarily reduce and freeze the fees they charge restaurants and other merchants for processing customers' credit card payments. Under the deal, which still requires the approval of a federal court, the rollback would begin on April 1st, 2025, so a year from now, and rates would not increase for 5 years. This is a result of a 20-year litigation between merchant groups and the credit card companies. So what's your take on this? Do you think this is good? Do you think it's enough? Do you think it's just a splash headline?
I think it's an and, not an or, right? If the sense is this is it, we the credit card companies are drawing a line in the sand. I think this is a symbolic gesture of they know they're on the wrong. They know they're on the wrong side of this, and they're hoping to stem the bleeding with this right now. I mean, don't keep it. $30 billion is sizable. That is going to impact positively many small merchants, including our members for sure, going forward. But it doesn't change the systemic challenge. Right. That there is a duopoly, that there is just no competition, and that you might get a brief window of support. Are they not going to just make that up 5 years from now in egregious fees?
Sure.
I think you absolutely should, and we are one of many in a coalition here, but keep pursuing Credit Card Competition Act. I think it is the right policy. I think it has purchase on the left and the right. You know, when we had started having some conversations around here about the sales tax portion that gets charged on the swipe fees, we got buy-in from both sides of the aisle. And so I think that there's just a lot of opportunity here to keep pushing forward. That is not to say that this isn't good news in the short term. $30 billion, again, big figure. But it shouldn't be the end game by any stretch. And so it's a good sign that I think we are on the right path with the Credit Card Competition Act, but we got to keep pushing.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Do you think that they thought that they were...
Can you put that on a t-shirt?
Gotta keep pushing?
No, that was well said. Compliment coming from Emily this way. I'll take it. I'll take it when I can get it.
It is rare. I think it was a throwaway line for me because I didn't even remember what I said when you said that. So, but yeah, well said. Let's move on, shall we?
That should be the lead-in, but go on.
The solar eclipse is coming to the world, to Earth.
To Earth.
On April 8th. It is only going to impact the southeast corner of Monroe County here in Michigan, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience that has become one of the country's hottest attractions and won't be, the next one won't be until 2044, is 20 years from now.
20 years from now. So my daughter's class is going on a field trip.
Oh, really?
To Ohio. To be at the dead center of it, to see what
that's
it's like
cool.
There. Yeah, I'm fascinated to see what that's supposed to look like. That, to me, that's like the peak of Ohio tourism for the year right there.
Throwing some shade.
Once every 20 years, Ohio's got something big to offer on the tourism side. Sorry, Ohio.
Yeah, let's hope our counterparts don't
sorry,
listen
not
to
sorry.
This.
But no, she's got a whole class going down. There's a lot of people from her school taking the trip down
there.
Yeah.
Are you chaperoning?
I am not. My wife might.
Yeah.
But that's so she's excited. That'll be an interesting day. And we'll see some of it from here. We won't get the totality of it, but you'll see.
Yeah. We'll need the glasses.
Yes.
In order to see it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. It wasn't the total eclipse. Whatever happened back in like 2017, 2018. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
My cousin got engaged during that. Like they went to see it and then he proposed. So
there's some symbolism there, but I'll just let that lie.
Please do. Okay, anything else you want to hit on that? Delta's offering a special flight from Dallas to Detroit in the Path of Totality.
Oh.
They're both sold out, so don't even try, but...
I imagine at quite a positive price point for Delta.
Yeah, to say the least.
Nope. Shout out Delta, though. We've been partnering more and more with Delta lately, a strong partner, and with DTW being a hub. I'm just going aside here and just giving my own little plug here. Delta's been a good partner, understanding and recognizing the importance of travel tourism to the state of Michigan and with DTW being a hub, their role in that process. So I'll give any positive shout out to Delta.
Great rewards system, too.
I'm a silver medallion traveler now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's something.
Put that on a t-shirt.
I'll try.
Okay, Cosmics.
Oh my God, more Cosmics.
I knew this was going to be your reaction. I almost didn't put it in here because you say everything I put on here is a callback to a previous episode.
We have three segments and we just keep hitting them.
I'm doing my best, okay?
Is the next one about Taco Bell marketing?
No Taco Bell.
No.
Not this week. Maybe next. But they're opening their second location in Texas. I still haven't been. We didn't end up making that trip happen back from December. Maybe this summer. Maybe in the future. But yeah, it's one of 10 test locations they're expected to open in 2024.
Well, maybe the burgeoning market of Lansing, Michigan should be one of the top 10. I mean, the capacity here. Just take a look downtown.
There's so much space.
Ghost town of all ghost towns during legislative spring break right now. It is quiet.
Very quiet. I'm not really complaining, though, either.
I do think Cosmics is going to succeed. I like
think
the
so
business
too.
Model. I like that it's a it is a elevated approach to McDonald's. The brand is there, but can you take it to a different audience with a different elevated product that maybe they're not going to hit for value all the time?
Sure.
But they hit knowing that there's an upscale opportunity with a brand that brings them comfort that they've known their whole life. I think that's smart.
Yeah, I think we're also just highly addicted to caffeine, and
that's a problem.
Those charged up drinks that aren't coffee are going to sell.
Oh, we didn't even talk about this, but we had, olive oil.
Oh my gosh.
Latte. It's not even on our script here.
That happened before the last episode and we didn't even talk about it.
Oh, it's true. It was at the ProStar competition.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Oleato.
Yes. And give us your full review. How many stars, first of all?
It's gotten better.
Oh, so you're going back for
it. I've gone back. It's sort of like, remember the first time you had a beer? Was that the best tasting thing you've ever had in your life? No.
No.
But you ended up having more, in all likelihood.
Yes.
This one, the first one really I would equate to like frying up a chicken breast with some oil and then dumping that oil into your latte and being, that's something.
You're making me nauseous.
Yeah, it was not great. It was not good. But I was intrigued enough to try again. I had one just the other day, quite literally, at the near downtown Lansing Starbucks. And it was 10 times better. It had oat milk, which is also not something I drink almost ever.
But the guy tried. So your first one, the guy tried to sell you on oat milk in it. And you said no. And you did regular milk.
I'm like, no way, hippie.
So they knew better than
give
you.
Give me the full diesel. And it was worse. So the last one I had was way better because it had less flavor, but more of you do have an oilier texture for sure. But, you know, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't terrible. It's also kind of like, I think about it like the first time I tried kombucha, I'm like, all right, fine, I'll try it.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, a foot.
Yeah. You are a hippie, I think.
Maybe
I
secretly think, right yeah, under the surface. Yeah.
You're projecting hate because it's who
deep
you
down,
are at your core. Yeah. You're a millennial.
And now I love kombucha. So there
yeah,
you go.
Exactly.
So, you know, a year from now, we'll be talking about how I'm addicted daily to, I'll be dumping high-end olive oil that I'm sourcing from who knows where.
Who knows?
Into the coffee. Or maybe we'll get it as part of the go-to here at the office.
Yeah, that's an option. Just a pump of oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do have two Nespressos in this office, which is a topic in and of itself for next time, maybe.
You're suggesting not enough. Like we should have regions of the office where they, so no one has to go too far.
Segment, yes.
For espresso. Not bad. That's not bad. I like that.
I just want to get staff. I want to get Celsius on tap.
Oof.
Just saying.
This is a lot of completely irrelevant content, but you know, this is good.
This is the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that sums it up for Pineapple Express.
Let's hit the plaudits.
Let's hit them. Fahey Schultz Berzick Rhodes PLC is Michigan's premier attorneys for hospitality-related legal services. The depth and breadth of experience within their team enables them to serve as a one-stop resource for clients throughout the hospitality industry. Their diverse client portfolio includes national restaurant chains, regional restaurants, hotels, taverns, entertainment venues, golf courses, liquor stores, as well as breweries, distilleries, and wineries. They have the expertise to assist clients with corporate formation and structure, engaging new investors, assisting with local and state licensing matters, all aspects of liquor licensing and violations, real estate matters, including purchase transactions or leases, intellectual property protection, advising on and executing expansion opportunities through franchising or other growth vehicles, purchase and sale agreements, succession planning and executing exit strategies. Clients also benefit from the experience and insight of lawyers who practice across the full range of legal fields which intersect with the hospitality industry. When day-to-day employment law issues emerge, their experienced labor and employment attorneys are there to counsel and provide strategic advice. When threatened by legal action, their litigation attorneys are prepared and ready to defend clients' interests. Their full-service approach makes their firm uniquely positioned to help hospitality clients of any size. Okay, we have a few here. So Greenleaf Hospitality, which owns the Radisson Plaza Hotel in Kalamazoo, where mm-hmm. we just were, where you had your Starbucks experience that you were just talking about.
And where we will be for the Pure Michigan Governor's Conference on Tourism not too long from now, early
April.
Yeah.
They're hosting a lot over there. I've been there the most in 2024 than I have probably in the last 5 years.
That's right.
So they have just finished their remodel of their 340-room hotel, 50,000 square feet of meeting space, multi-million dollar renovation. We were there. We experienced it. It's great, but wanted to give them their plaudits on the podcast. They had their first sold out weekend. I believe it was the weekend after we were there since the renovation. So very exciting for them.
Yeah, good for them. I mean, they're the only big game in town
right.
in Kalamazoo. And so sometimes that means when there's not aggressive competition that you get a little soft. Just think of the Radisson downtown and in years past in Lansing.
Not a Radisson anymore.
I know, and it's doing better.
And we'll be there on May 8th for Capital Day.
The fact that they were making this investment to keep it in a lead property to elevate Kalamazoo overall should deserve kudos, and we should be talking about it.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of renovations, Founders Brewery in Grand Rapids, they're set to reopen April 1st, so Monday, probably the day that this podcast comes out. After undergoing a $3 million renovation, they have a brand new kitchen that's 3 times larger than their last kitchen, new fryers, burners, oven, coolers, the whole nine, so that they can elevate their menu with more entrees and be less sandwich-based per their newer executive chef who started in 2023. So it's exciting for them. They have also done improvements to the restaurant with a refined bar. They're adding booths, brand new TVs. They specifically said for when the Lions go to the Super Bowl next year so that people can watch that happen. But, you know, everyone knows Founders, great, great spot, and excited for them and their new revamped space and menu.
Got a favorite?
Beer. What's the new one I'm seeing? Immortal Bloom? Is that the new one I'm seeing everywhere that just came out?
I don't know.
Okay. I think it's that one. That's a good one.
Many great ones.
Yeah.
KBS obviously is like, do you remember when we had Kat Hansen working at the association and she would celebrate it like a national holiday?
Yes.
And would make sure she'd be taking time off to go make sure she could go get some as immediately upon opportunity to do so. So shout out to Kat Hansen and the KBS. Still a fan favorite.
I had forgotten about that. I hadn't forgotten about Kat, but I had forgotten about that specific personality quirk. What's your favorite? That's your favorite?
It's a special one. I mean, you know, they've done very well for themselves with the all day IPA.
Yeah,
a good session IPA, because that's the downer on the IPA. It's like it's delicious to go have one. A little rough when you know you're in the 8%, 9% range, and you're like your day's over.
Yeah.
So
go have a nap.
Yes.
Yeah. Check out Immortal Bloom. I had it a few weeks ago. It's really good.
Give it a try.
Okay, Born in Detroit. Pop-up store opened a week ago. They're opening up in the old Moose Jaw store on Woodward Ave, downtown Detroit, before the NFL draft, owned by new MRLA board member Anthony Tomey.
Shout out Anthony Tomey and the whole Tomey family.
Yeah.
And that guy is everywhere.
Everywhere.
He really is. He is a classic board member of this association because he is a diehard entrepreneur. Just sees opportunity everywhere and is growing and expanding. I love it. You know, I can't get enough of that.
Yeah.
Kudos to him.
Yes, agreed. And it might be permanent.
Do you think that's enough for us to get some swag? Do you think, is our reach so broad that we will now get a little Born in Detroit swag sent our way?
I mean, I think you could send him the link and probably make that happen. He is on our board, so.
We'll see. I'd like to know if it's so strong, it will just naturally make its way to him. It's like, hey, did you know you got a great shout out?
It's a good test.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of the answer, actually. All right, let's keep moving.
Maybe we should have him on the pod.
Oh, definitely we will have him on the pod. It's a matter of when, not if.
We'll see how this test goes.
Yes.
I'm ready to step up.
I'm ready to step up.
Hospitality business owners and managers, are your employees ready to step up to the next level? The Hospitality Training Institute of Michigan offers a 12-week hospitality business management certificate course that can give them the business and leadership skills they need to advance. Go to htim.com/step up to learn more. Help employees step up for your business.
Okay, that wraps up plaudits. Let's get into For Fork's Sake. Quite a bit to discuss here. First up on the list, do you want to kick it off?
Let me just set the stage.
Please do.
It is spring break right now, late March. No one's around.
So gray.
Everyone's kind of chill. Actually, today's kind of bright, but
it's
still cold.
The last week has been brutal. Go on.
Yeah, it's very cold. I was up north this weekend, 12 degrees.
Yeah, that's crazy.
12. Okay. So it is the calm before the storm, but just rest yourself, us, the listeners, everyone in this space, because I think it's going to be a heavy rest of 2024 coming. Just okay. Get ready. Gear up.
Okay.
We got a lot of things coming. We've talked for years about the tip credit issue. We will get a ruling in the Supreme Court. There will be action necessary. In all likelihood, I'm prepared to be pleasantly surprised that everything is just resolved and we're moving forward with the status quo. Fantastic. Real strong likelihood that we're all going to need to be engaged in having that conversation again about the importance of the tip credit to not just operators, not to just Michigan's economy overall, but also the workers of this industry, what benefits them the most and the best, which is what the point that they often are making. So that's coming. Get ready. I know it's been off of our radar for a little while.
I mean, not here. But
that
yes.
issue ain't gone.
Yeah. No, I know.
So
you're
it's
making me
back.
Nauseous again.
I know. I've felt it. I felt the tingly, like, uh-oh, I know it's coming, feeling coming back. And so gear up, get ready, but also get ready because we are sending a pretty large contingent from the state of Michigan to Washington, D.C. for the National Restaurant Association's Public Affairs Conference in mid-April, and we are going to be there at a prime time. You know, sometimes these things are great to continue the dialogue with our elected officials, but this year we'll have that, but also some policy likely hanging in the balance, likely having a chance to move that week. Can we, through a large presence nationally, impact the outcome? And what am I talking about?
What are you talking about?
Sometimes I don't know, but today I am talking about the Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act of 2024. We talked about it last time. In a year where the House is not doing a whole lot overall, the U.S. House feels like a sense of chaos and instability. They did pass this big policy reform through earlier this year, and the question was, would the Senate take that momentum and run with it, or would they just let it go? It is an election year. A lot of things hanging out there in the Senate as well. In Michigan here, just the Michigan House is up. No Senate action. But at the U.S. level, the U.S. Senate hangs in the balance. And so the idea of big policy moving in well into the year is unlikely. Everyone's going to break and leave and go aggressively get into campaign mode. So the belief is these couple of weeks in April are the do or die time for this legislation. And it's got momentum. It's got a huge coalition pushing, of which we are an active member and often put out front of, because I think it is easy to see, sympathize, empathize with that small independent restaurateur, what they've gone through the last couple of years, what they need for support. And so we're going to be in D.C. at a time where we can impact that outcome. We've got about 12, 13 people signed up already. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, I want to be part of that, you can sign up and be part of the Michigan delegation. I think there's going to be over 600 people from across the country in for the Public Affairs Conference this year. But big opportunities here for the industry as it relates to bonus depreciation, which is critical for the future investment in this industry. Costs are so high right now for everything a restaurant does. If you're going to eliminate bonus depreciation, you're going to really disincentivize that struggling independent restaurant to want to further invest in his restaurant and magnify that to the full scope of how big this industry is nationally. And then you can envision a recession looming if there isn't the incentive to go invest right now, because it's a tough environment out there, right? We've talked about that numerous times with how fast costs have increased for this industry, especially for the small independent. So that's big for them. Same thing with a full EBITDA interest deductibility is huge for the industry. We're going to need that extra cash flow going right back into the business. Good for the economy, obviously good for operators. We're pushing hard in that direction, wanting to see this thing get across the finish line. How did I do? Are you motivated?
I'm very motivated. Yes. I want to sign up and go to D.C.
Okay. We'll get you in. Now
Shoot.
You have to go.
Shoot. Speaking of D.C., how are the restaurants faring there since they eliminated the tip credit?
Is that enough pause?
Did I make you nauseous?
Is that enough pause for effect? Yeah, no, that's a really good segue.
Thank you.
To
clip it.
To both of the things I just talked about, right? Tip credit hanging in the balance in Michigan, and us going to D.C. with a big agenda ahead of us, we might have a hard time finding dinner reservations while we're out there, because 3,700 jobs have been cut in Washington, D.C. in about 7 months. We have said for a long time the impact would be huge to this industry. Washington, D.C. is now a perfect test case to say you eliminate the tip credit and what's going to happen. The industry is going to remodel to try to stay alive like anyone else, right? It has survivor instincts. It's doing so by shrinking its workforce and trying to use technology to replace it and trying to get by with, frankly, worse service. You're going to have fewer people out there taking care of you when you go out to eat. 3,700 jobs in 7 months since the elimination of the tip credit and just the start of the elimination of the tip credit went into effect in Washington, D.C. That is titanic. That equates to more than 30,000 jobs in this industry lost in Michigan. That's the scope change, right? Like, take that and put that on top of Michigan's size and scope of the industry here statewide. Over 30,000 jobs in 7 months gone. And I would say it probably would be worse, because when I think of Washington, D.C., we've said this before, it's other people's money.
Yeah.
And when it's so much other people's money, the spend that comes in and is out there in D.C. is often divorced from one's own economic situation, right?
Sure.
It's usually a business expense trip. It's that rare time where even if you are a small entity or a small industry, you're going to spend some money. You're in D.C. for a big professional opportunity, and you're going to splurge a little bit, right? So even in that world where there's a lot of make-believe money that doesn't really translate to the Michigan economy overall, you're still seeing 3,700 jobs lost in 7 months. It's tragic. And I think it would be catastrophic here in Michigan. So that's setting the stage for what's to come for the remainder of the year. Who's excited?
Yeah. Yeah. And also, just to tack on to that, it, you know, impacting the customers beyond the service component too. 96% of in-district in DC restaurants increased their prices by an average of 16%. So, you know, it's hurting everyone all the way around for sure.
You know it. All right, let's hit just a couple more quick things. Federal judge approved changes to Michigan's redrawn House maps. That's been going on for a while. It has loomed over the coming election and what the state of the districts would be. So a federal judge panel ordered Michigan's House districts be redrawn. They found the commission's redrawn maps actually do now comply with constitutional requirements, which is fascinating because the plaintiffs didn't think they went far enough and were pushing for more and more aggressively redrawn maps. The tweaked, but maybe not dramatically reimagined districts for the Michigan House have passed muster. So I think that is interesting. What's next up on this? 6 Senate districts coming up will be fascinating, because that the Senate is also very narrowly divided. So what will that will set up for 2026? So interesting stuff coming. It will impact how the election process happens in Michigan this year. You know, we'll be all over that. That is why we are here. One other thing before we get to our guest today, and we'll probably talk about this, the hotel tax bill, something we talked about for quite a long time, finally heading to the governor's desk.
You mean the one from 4 months ago?
Yeah, you might have forgotten, right? You would assume that it passed both chambers, did not get sent to the governor. There was a lot of negotiation behind the scenes of some policies that both sides want to see get done and before this could move forward. So this is good news for Grand Rapids, who is already moving. I saw an article today, Thursday, the 28th. There is a vote, I believe, in Grand Rapids on the soccer stadium. That's one of the big developments forthcoming, a big aquarium and a few other big developments to try to draw more travel tourism, big convention style events to the city of Grand Rapids into the future. Forthcoming in Grand Rapids, willing to take on that higher tax rate for its guests, believing that there would be enough demand to justify. And so we will support the industry when the industry wants to support that concept. We were successful in narrowing the scope of that bill down to Grand Rapids. We do not want an industry-wide taxation when that's not what the industry overall is telling us that they need or want. So it was a success for us to limit that to the area that wants to see that growth and opportunity, but preventing unnecessary taxation on this industry, and certainly trying to keep the scope to, if this industry is going to tax itself and supports taxing itself, that those dollars be used to expand opportunities for this industry, not just filling what we call general fund purposes for a local municipality or a county or even the state. So we'll continue to fight that fight. I don't think it's the last time you'll be hearing about hotel taxes, but this one filing to the governor, a signature is expected, maybe even by the time you hear this podcast.
Yeah, not signed yet, but we'll see. Okay, all right. I think that wraps up for our segments. Let's get into our interview with Claude and Chris from Visit Detroit. Okay, our guests today, we have from Visit Detroit, Claude Molinari, President and CEO, and Chris Moyer, Senior Director of Communications and Public Affairs. A lot going on in Detroit.
Two hardest working men in the city of Detroit right now, spending time with us. We are blessed. Gentlemen, welcome.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. And there are a lot of hardworking people in Detroit right now. We're just grateful to be part of all the good things that are that's happening right now.
That's a good hedge. That's a smart hedge. I just wanted to give props to you guys. I know how hard you guys have been working. Big days coming, which is why we're excited to have this conversation.
Yeah, so can you start off with a quick overview for our listeners of what Visit Detroit is, what your organization does, and specifically what you guys have coming up here?
Sure. So Visit Detroit is who we are and what we do. Our job is to bring meetings, conventions, and events to Detroit, Oakland, Macomb, and Wayne County. We helped bring almost 17 million visitors to Southeast Michigan last year, which generates billions of dollars of economic activity for the region.
Yeah, and I'll just add that we're really proud to be the very first convention and visitor bureau in the world, founded in 1896. We just celebrated our 128th birthday, and I'd say we're looking pretty good, but because this is a podcast, nobody's really going to be able to verify that.
That is fascinating. Detroit, number one.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah.
The very first convention bureau. They teach it in like convention bureau school, like in Detroit. And we have a Detroit person here, and there's like this is the very first, the invention of the CVB.
I learned that this year at the big annual meeting for Visit Detroit, which was appropriately at Ford Field, which is a perfect segue for us to get into it because we are, Detroit is, you guys are, all on the clock for the big upcoming NFL draft just a few weeks away, April 25th through 27th. It has become such an insanely big deal. Even just maybe 10, 15 years ago, this was a thing that happened in New York, and it was watched because football is the number one sport in America, but it has become an absolute event nationally, internationally. So can you tell us what people can expect over those 3 days later in April?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, you know, Justin, it's free. And the only thing better than free is more free. And this event is free to the public, and it's going to be held at Campus Martius and Hart Plaza. And all anybody needs to do is to download the NFL One Pass to attend. And we're expecting hundreds of thousands of visitors in person, tens of millions of people watching our city and state shine on national television. And this is an event that everyone's going to want to say they attended. There are so many ways to participate, from the NFL draft experience to watching the draft picks selected to the draft day itself. Everyone should go to visitdetroit.com and start making their plans to attend.
Well, our massive listenership wants to know because it's, listen, we're a niche podcast. It is followed by hotel and restaurant and related hospitality leaders across the state of Michigan, presumably. I actually don't know if
and
that's true.
And our family and friends.
maybe a
those
larger
number. Those are the
number.
Best listeners. Shout out to the family and friends.
Certainly most loyal. So tell me about what the impact's going to be to them. What is a hotel in the city of Detroit preparing for? What is a restaurant in the city of Detroit preparing for? When what can they expect coming their way?
Yeah, so last year in Kansas City, the NFL draft saw 312,000 visitors and $164.3 million in economic impact. Let's now break it out. Southeast Michigan has a bigger population. Michigan has a bigger population, and Lions fans are really amped up to support the team. We also have six NFL markets that are less than a five-hour drive to Detroit, from Pittsburgh to Cleveland to Buffalo, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, and Chicago. These are passionate fans that want to come see their team and the future of their team get built. The closest city to Kansas City from a drive perspective was Dallas at 11 hours. Detroit also has the number one mega airport in North America, according to J.D. Power and Associates. So we know this is going to be a huge event for restaurants, for hotels in the city of Detroit, in Southeast Michigan. We have 45,000 hotel rooms in Oakland, Macomb, and Wayne County, about 5,500 in the city of Detroit. Those hoteliers, the fantastic frontline staff that works at hotels and restaurants, I would just say, let us know if you need help, but be ready for a lot of people that are excited to be in Detroit, and we want to put our best foot forward. This is going to be a really special week for the city and the state.
I can't wait to see the RevPAR numbers for April.
It'll be
for
a fun
Detroit.
One.
They're going to be big, and I know our restaurateurs are doing their best to staff up to meet demand as well, because it's going to be heavy. My nine-year-old, my eldest son just had his birthday, turned nine, obsessed with the Lions. His birthday was a Lions cake.
Oh, it, nice.
He got a Lions hooded sweatshirt. His favorite player is Jahmyr Gibbs. He's born on the 26th. 26 is Jahmyr Gibbs, so he's obsessed. He's excited about the draft. I don't remember the draft even existing when I was in third grade, but he's really all in.
Justin, what's his favorite podcast, though? That's, I mean, we all have our favorite NFL player and our favorite Lions player, but I hope that this is his favorite podcast.
You know, I don't think he would ever say that or certainly admit it publicly, but, you know.
I will say.
We can assume.
That his class did a Pure Michigan commercial.
They did. It may or may not be appearing at the impending tourism conference in a couple of weeks here. I'll let you guys know.
It's very good. I'll say that. Is there any insight you guys have? We know, you know, the economic impact, what to prepare for. Anything for our operators who are listening on the how should businesses and restaurants be preparing? That might be a little bit specific, but do you have any, you know, best practices for that as they gear up for so much demand for our hospitality industry?
That's a great question, Emily. And businesses in the city should go out to visitdetroit.com and download our business resource kit. This gives businesses the tips and ideas to make sure they get the most benefit from the draft. So again, the business resource kit specifically tailored to our restaurants and businesses in Detroit, and they can get that downloaded easily on visitdetroit.com.
We've been pushing it frequently around here, and it's fantastic. You guys did a great job, and we'll keep pushing that on our end.
Yeah, thank you, Justin, and the team did really work really hard on that. We are invested in making sure that retail, restaurants, hotels, all Detroiters, all Metro Detroiters, and all Michiganders get a chance to benefit from this fantastic opportunity. But I do want to say that not every business is going to benefit equally. And I'm going to give you one example. The NFL footprint goes from Hart Plaza right on the river through Campus Martius. There is a famous classic Detroit business that is the heart of our antique community, Du Michel's. I don't think that this is going to be a great 3 days for selling antiques. There are other businesses, nail salons, maybe this isn't going to be their best week. But there are things in this business resource kit that kind of can speak to how you as a business try to either attract this demographic of visitor or cater to your traditional clientele during the week when many of the sporting world is focused on the draft.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think it's really hard sometimes to think about this long term. In the short term, you're talking about a 3 or 4 day possibly negative impact that your business is going to experience. But if you're creative, there are ways around this to improve. And then long term, it's hard to think about this way if you're the business impacted. But the amount of eyeballs and interest that just focuses on this region because of this event should redound for years to come, I think and I hope. So what you might lose over 3 days, you might have increased opportunities of people choosing to visit because of this focus now in the next 6 months, 9 months, maybe in the next 3 years that they might otherwise not have had.
That's
Justin,
exactly
you're
right.
So right. Yeah, Justin, I got to say, like, we're going to use the NFL draft as a platform. I mean, with 60 million people on TV and everything, they're going to see this region in a very different light. And I think that this is going to be a validation. You know, the NFL chose Detroit and Michigan. I think it's going to really open up a lot of people's eyes.
That's a good segue to hit. I know we are hosting We the City of Detroit, like I'm part of it somehow.
You're part of Michigan, part of this industry, Justin.
Right.
We are hosting the Sweet 16, at least some of the games this coming weekend. March Madness had a great first weekend. Shout out to Oakland University with a great big win. That was exciting and so close, by the way, so close to that second win. So March Madness is definitely here. A couple of great games coming up in Detroit this weekend, and that helps set the stage for the Final Four in 2027 coming to Detroit, which I'm already excited about. So a lot of big events coming. What do you think this draft creates as future opportunity, things like that, large scale sporting event opportunities for the city?
Well, no doubt the NFL draft is going to be the largest and most inclusive sporting event that the state of Michigan has ever held. But we're really just getting started, as you mentioned. This spring and summer, besides the Sweet 16, we have opening day that will attract 100,000 people. We have the Movement Fest that brings in 100,000 people. The Grand Prix also brings in 100,000 people. The Rocket Mortgage Classic. And we have the National Guard coming this summer for a huge convention. And we're going after the Big Ten football and basketball championships, the NCAA women's national championships in multiple sports. And of course, the NBA and NHL All-Star games are high on our list.
An NBA All-Star game better come here in the next few years, boys. I am directly interested in making that happen. Let me know how I can help.
I'll just jump in right now. I think as we talk about some of these events that are coming to the city, I think it's really important to call out that Detroit and our state could be getting even more of these events if we had a reliable and affordable funding model to pay for them. Events like the draft and the Final Four, these cost, you know, $10 to $20 million to put on, but they generate hundreds of millions of dollars for the state. And other states like Texas and Indiana and Tennessee, they have a large special events fund that is tapped when the Final Four goes to Houston or Indianapolis. It helps attract visitors. But even more importantly, this is about winning these events on a regular basis to compete against states for talent and for investment. So we're always talking about, let's grow Michigan. We, the MRLA, Visit Detroit, we're part of that growth strategy. And if we have a small, responsible, large special events fund that can help us secure these events, we're going to be able to outcompete these other states because of all the intrinsic assets that Detroit and the state has.
Yeah, agreed. That conversation has been happening in earnest around the Capitol over the last, well, we'll say a couple of years. And there's some buy-in. We're continuing to expand how many people believe that that is a worthwhile investment, because it clearly is. The ROI is clearly there. We feel the same way about Pure Michigan, but we're not going to go there today.
Let me pivot. Can go there. We can.
another program that obviously has strong ROI, and the state needs to find ways to strategically invest, right? That brings back. Obviously, we are beneficiaries in this industry, but we're not the only beneficiaries. And so it is to the betterment of the entire state to make these strategic investments. But maybe that's a conversation for another day. I am interested because the draft has sort of forced the hand of a hotel investment in the city that we hadn't seen in a long, long time. How big is that investment? How many more rooms have you seen come online in the city in the last couple of years, or let's say the last 18 months? And then what do you project out into the future, which hopefully creates the opportunity to bring some of these events we're talking about?
Well, we've added about 1,000 hotel rooms downtown, which brings us to just under 5,500. Our goal is to help another 4,000 come online over the next few years. And I think it's critical to remember that if an event needs 7,000 rooms and we only have 5,500, the event isn't going to give us $5,000 and figure it out. They don't come to Detroit and we lose out. So, you know, what event organizers are looking for, it's critical for us to be able to compete at that level. And when you look at cities like Indianapolis, who have a large special event fund and 15,000 hotel rooms downtown, that's really hard for us to compete against.
Wow. I mean, Indianapolis, not the largest city overall, right? Mid-tier city, but the fact that they have 15,000 hotel rooms in that city is fascinating. And you know, a testament to why they get some of these big events with regularity.
Absolutely. I mean, they're all in. And they've said, like, we're tourism and hospitality and large special events, that's going to be our niche, and they have a strong place in it.
Okay, let's pivot to some policy. We did talk about the cap a little bit ago, but finally, a recent hotel tax bill was sent to the governor. This was dealt with mostly late last year in 2023 with a modified and shrunk version of this hotel tax bill focused primarily on Grand Rapids and Kent County overall, was sent to the governor. But I think we talked about this earlier in a segment today and before on this podcast, that there's real concern now that legislators on both sides of the aisle are seeing money signs. They're seeing dollar signs through hotel taxes, and wanted to get your perspective from Southeast Michigan on what you see here, what the opportunity and or threat, frankly, from from this approach to hotel taxation looks like?
Yeah, that's a it's a great question, a very, very timely question. The hotel community of Michigan is really proud to contribute hundreds of millions of dollars to the state and local taxes every year that help fund critical programs. As an industry, I think we recognize our essential role as a driver of economic growth, population growth, and prosperity for the state. So for hotels and hospitality as an industry to excel at growing Michigan, we need to have taxes that make sense for how we can best support the state. I'm convinced that we're all ready to sit at any table and have any discussion with state and local leaders, but a portion of this assessment revenue needs to continue to going towards promoting the communities that these hotels are in and the state as a whole. So we want to be really, really clear that additional taxes or tax capture diversion have to be done wisely and with the buy-in of the hotel community, of the hospitality industry, or the concern is that this could end up diminishing our whole state's economy.
Well said. Frankly, better said than we said it earlier today. Chris, that was perfect.
He's good, that guy.
he's good, that guy. Emily?
Yeah. So, you know, speaking of investing in the hospitality industry itself and our own industry investing in itself, I know we said, Justin said he wasn't going to get triggered by it, but I'll push the envelope. How does the Pure Michigan funding play a part in your work to attract visitors and those large events that you talked about to the state, specifically, you know, in Detroit? I think sometimes people think Pure Michigan, they think Northern Michigan, but how does Pure Michigan impact you guys?
Well, Pure Michigan, Emily, is an essential part of Visit Detroit's ability to attract events. And it's important to remember that 40% of all visitors to the state of Michigan come to Detroit and Southeast Michigan. That's more than double any other destination. So we really are the very heartbeat of Pure Michigan. So without full and robust funding for the Travel Michigan team, Detroit's going to lose out on too many visitors, too many events, and far too much economic impact. Now, we are confident that bipartisan legislators and the governor will fully fund Travel Michigan budget to, we feel at least $50 million. And that is going to allow Detroit and the state to go win more big events, attract more visitors, attract more people to come and live here and really grow.
Perfect segue. Well, and first of all, let me say before we segue to the last question here that we appreciate the support from Visit Detroit in helping to create, to found the Hospitality and Tourism Alliance here in Michigan. I think we do need to project that voice loudly and in a unified fashion, loudly in Southeast Michigan, but also in West and Northern Michigan in one single approach to make sure it's clear, regardless of what side of the aisle you are on and what branch of government you're engaged in, that you're hearing that the impact is so necessary, so positive for the state of Michigan. So thank you for your support in the creation of the alliance as well. All right, let me get you guys out of here.
Pleasure.
Of course. Let me get you guys out of here on this. We've been so excited to watch the level of energy coming out of Visit Detroit since you guys took the helm here in the last couple of years. There's a real aggressive vision for a bigger, brighter future for travel and tourism in Detroit. And we're excited to play a role and be engaged with you guys on that. Tell me what you think that looks like 5 years from now. And if you even dare to say 10 years from now, what's the vision here for the Detroit region going out into the future?
Yeah, I think we're both going to want to take a crack at this. And I'll go first. I'll say that Detroit is on an unmistakable growth trajectory. And Visit Detroit is so honored to be a small part of it. We're going to continue to tell the story of our people, the tens of billions of dollars of investment that has happened in our community, our global leadership and innovation. And I want to point out just how safe Detroit truly is. We want to once and for all pierce this false idea, the false narrative that Detroit is dangerous or not worth visiting. Our crime rate is less than 35% of what it was in the 1990s. And it's time that people recognize that this is an essential place. Detroit is an essential place to visit from a cultural, historical, and entertainment perspective. I know we're getting there. So in 5 years, I think that Detroit is going to be seen as one of the most important cities in the world, leading one of the most important states in the world.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, in 5 years, Detroiters will be welcoming 25 million visitors a year. That's our goal, 25 million. And people will recognize that cars wouldn't be cars, music wouldn't be music, and culture wouldn't be culture without our city.
Perfect.
I think that sums it up very well. All right, let's get into the lightning round. This is our first ever two-person lightning round, I think.
Lightning round.
Anything is possible.
How do you want to do this? Should we go like one question at a time, each answer? Each of us answer this?
Yeah, let's go that way.
All right, hit us up. I love the lightning round.
All right, let's do it. So what is the last song that you listened to? Let's start with Claude.
I got Afrojack, Can't Stop Me Now. I was running today listening to that.
That's what got you motivated, probably well before dawn, getting out for that 5 mile run, Claude.
That's right.
I love it. I love it.
Chris, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm jumping out of bed early as well. We've got the draft coming, and I'm listening to Motown's very own Marvin Gaye, Gotta Give It Up Part One. Just such an upbeat, positive, fun song.
Detroit. Nice. I love it.
Great answers. All right, what is the last show you streamed?
Oh, now, the opposite of poor Chris's upbeat, I watched Normal People, set in Ireland. It's so very sad. These two star-crossed lovers just can't get it together. It was heartbreaking.
I heard that was good. I have not seen it, though.
I haven't either.
I have a 10-month-old, and I am not watching any TV right now. But
No Cocoa Melon in your rotation?
No Cocoa Melon yet, thank goodness, and hopefully none forever.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you. Sometimes my wife and I will fall asleep watching Seinfeld. It cracks us up and kind of is a good way to end the day.
Love it.
Not Teletubbies or something like that?
Maybe next year.
There we go. When we have you back, we'll see how those answers change. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite tourism destination in Michigan? And can I say that you can't say Detroit? Can I say that? Am I allowed?
Oh, man.
That's like asking, who's my favorite child? Like, you can't. I love them all equally. I mean, this whole region of Southeast Michigan is just fantastic.
Yeah.
You knew you weren't going to get an answer. You knew you weren't going to get an answer out of that.
State.
Yeah.
I had to try.
It's a great question.
Why even go anywhere else?
I had to try. Okay, and what is your go-to cocktail or beer of choice?
Well, it's the official drink of the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association, or maybe it's the unofficial, but I'm going with the old-fashioned, which is too many of them sometimes.
Well said. Yeah, get out the Woodford.
That sounds fantastic. But right now, you know, it's spring, and typically, while I'm a whiskey man, I can't wait to have an Oberon.
It's coming. It's coming. Right out of Kalamazoo, which is where the tourism conference. You guys see that the governor has a specific beer made for by Bell's for the tourism conference coming up?
It's going to be a great time in Kalamazoo.
I believe it is peach-infused, a wheat beer, so from Bell's. That'll be interesting.
It's wit beer, I think, is their branding. That
I
they're
see
going.
What you did there. Unfiltered, yeah.
I'll respect it.
I like it. I had to look it up. There are Kalamazoo, Southwest Michigan, apparently does grow peaches. I did not really know that Michigan was a peach state.
Thought that was exclusive to Georgia.
We're a great agricultural state, and that's a big part of tourism throughout Michigan, but in Detroit as well with our urban agriculture.
So true.
You can cut that or leave it in, whatever you want.
Well, I think it shows your willingness to support all regions of the state. You guys are lovers and promoters of Michigan as a whole, not just Detroit. So it's appreciated. Gentlemen, thank you for your time. I know you've got a lot on the agenda right now. We salute you. We support you. And good luck with all things coming up with the NFL draft.
Thanks, Justin and Emily. We really appreciate you. And certainly we're so proud to be members of the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association, and serving on the board of this great institution has been so rewarding for me personally. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Perfect. What a great plug.